Technorama, the turducken of podcasting.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for giblets for my gravy. Do you have any?
Over there, in the media corner.
Oh, that's what giblets are.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for November 26th. This is the Turkey Show, and we are the poultry, ready to have fun. No, this show is about lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Why, I am ready for Thanksgiving.
As so am I, as will be evident by this being released the day before.
Yeah, well, we got our popcorn ready. We got our toast, cold cereal. We're ready to go.
Pretzels. Yeah, I'm. Somebody threw it to me on a plate, and half of it slid off. But if you don't know what we're talking about, that's the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And I am here once again in the Binary Studio with yet another addition to my collector's plate from the U.S. I'm rounding out my collection. We have Summer Brooks in the house.
You have no idea the mental whiplash that intro music gives me.
We had it first,
so you know. I know. Hi, guys. How are you?
Mental whiplash?
Yeah.
What, do you have to wear like a mental neck brace for that?
Yeah. You have no idea the gymnastical gyrations that happen in my brain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all about association, and we're here to mess with
Hold on. I'm having a little lag trying to process all those words.
Gymnastics?
Wait a minute. I can't use big words here either? Jeez.
No, one syllable, please.
We don't have the budget for it.
Just like the toast and popcorn. Let us embark on this insanity that is this show. Coming up in this episode, we have Barbie, in case you missed that in the wonderful news. We have annoying mistletoe. Oh, yeah, I caught that story. And how much is the voice of Vader worth? We'll find out.
It would seem another season of Tales from the Archives is upon us. Dr. Sound must be under the impression we have nothing else to tend to down here. With a new season, we need to make a new promo.
Why not have our intern do it?
We have an intern?
Yes, Wellington. Catherine!
Good day, Eliza. How's it going, eh?
Lovely. Thank you for asking.
We have an intern? In the archives?
Any difficulties with my assigned tasks?
The compass retrieved from the ghost ship of Northumberland Strait keeps trying to reappear on different shelves, but I think I got it secured.
How did you do that?
Maple syrup? Sticky stuff, eh?
We have an intern.
Excellent. Welly and I were wondering if you have a moment to make a promo for us.
Oh, sure.
Tales from the Archives, Volume 3. The Steampunk Chronicle Reader's Choice winner and Parsec-winning podcast from Pip Ballantyne and T. Morris.
Oh, she's very good.
Subscribe for free through iTunes or at the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences website at ministryofpeculiaroccurrences.com.
I say, Catherine, would you mind topping off my tea? There's a good lass.
Oh, tea, coffee.
Wellington, don't antagonize the Canadian. It's very rude.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I still say they're doing this as some kind of public service for a crime they won't admit to.
Oh, and back to you, Chuck and Craig.
We're here to mental whiplash everybody. We're just going to whip everybody.
Whip it and whip it good.
Hey, music. I found some.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today.
Reach right out and pull one out.
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to
Ah, man, I left the Enterprise on. Now the lights don't work.
Aww.
You know that little model Enterprise you gave me for my birthday, Craig?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, I got to get new batteries for it.
Aw, man.
I tell you.
Stop the show right now.
Can't leave anything laying around the studio with a switch on it.
No kid.
Somebody's going to get hurt. Hey, we have
the cat.
We have a voicemail, and we're going to mental whiplash Summer once again.
Hey, Spicers, this is Trampus. Wait, what? Technorama? Huh?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
When I bought the house.
Oh, well. Hey, it's Trampus, and I was just tuning into the Draco Vista Studios. You're not Draco Vista anymore.
Try again.
Wow, lots of changes. Well, anyway, hey, this is Trampus, who used to call in to Slice of Sci-Fi and Dragon Page, but doesn't know where to call in anymore, so this seemed like a good place. And
found this on the bathroom wall.
start listening to your show. It sounded fun. I heard a couple of familiar voices on there. Heard Michael R. Menengay and heard Keith Lane and Ben Ragington. And I'm like, wow, it's like the old gang's back together again. So not certain what you guys are doing there with all that, but looking forward to it. Ciao.
We're putting the band back together, dude.
Hi, Trampus. Did you miss me? And yeah, hello. There's been slice of sci-fi episodes going on for the past 2 months.
Yeah, no kidding.
You haven't noticed? I've been working my ass off here, guys.
Slacker.
Can I give him the voicemail number?
Mm-hmm.
The new number that you can call in for a slice of sci-fi voicemail, and I promise I'll play them, is 602-635-6976. So, Trampus, please call me. Say hi. Gary from Jacksonville, if you're listening, you need to put that number in your speed dial. Take the other one out.
That's okay, because next week we're hijacking the slice feed.
Nice.
Hey, wait a minute. What area code is that? That's not Seattle.
Nope, it's a Phoenix number.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah. That's a new Skype number, and I'm just downloading voicemails from the Skype voicemail.
And we've gotten our money's worth out of that K7 number.
Oh man, yeah.
What was that, date back to 2005 or 4 or something?
Yeah, 2005 or 2006. That was, yeah.
I'm hanging on to it as long as I can. And when we don't have voicemail, I call it once in a while just so we don't lose it.
And that was the great thing about Gary. Gary would dial the number. He would miss us whenever we were off the air for too long. So he would call in the voicemail number to make sure it was still working.
Okay.
We get people butt dialing once in a while.
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we got to have the band leave the room now. Right into the history, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to do the round the table thing. So me, Craig, Summer. And who gets the nasty names this time? On this day in history for November 26, 2014, this is the 330th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 35 days remaining in the year. It was on this date in 1778 in the Hawaiian Islands. Captain James Cook becomes the first European to visit Maui and order a tropical drink. No, I made that last part up.
Yeah, you did. Official opening of the Thomas Telford's Ponsiculite Aqueduct was in 209 years ago today.
Not too bad, Craig.
151 years ago today, the United States President Abraham Lincoln proclaims November 26th as a National Thanksgiving Day to be celebrated annually on the final Thursday of November. Since 1941, it has been on the fourth Thursday.
What's that accent? Penny for the guy.
Phoenix accent.
Howard Carter and Lord Carnarvon become the first people to enter the tomb. I almost read that as enter the womb of
That would have been interesting.
The pharaoh Tutankhamun in over 3,000 years, and the first thing they said was, wow, this place needs a maid.
Yeah, it stinks.
Oh, my goodness.
Also today in 1922, The Toll of the Sea debuts as the first general release film to use two-tone Technicolor.
Is that true? Wait, two-tone Technicolor? Black and white?
It's just gray. It's gray.
Oh, my goodness.
Sepia and brown? What was that?
It was copper and tan. I don't know. The Delta II rocket makes its maiden flight on this date in 1990.
Oh, we're getting up to date here. Concorde makes its final flight over Bristol, England 11 years ago today. Happy birthday goes out on this day to German organist and composer Johannes Bach, born on this date in 1604.
And I will apologize to him ahead of time, but also born on the same date in 1678 is Jean-Jacques Dourcis de Marion, French.
Jean-Jacques
Dourcis de Marion. Physicist and astronomer. I could say that.
The man who invented air conditioning, Willis Carrier, was born today in 1876.
One of the co-founders of the McDonald's restaurant chain, Maurice McDonald. Wasn't he one of the Bee Gees, too? Oh, there it was. Maurice Gibb. Maurice McDonald was born 112 years ago today.
And English computer scientist and psychologist, Margaret Bowden, turned 78.
That's an interesting combination. Computer scientist and psychologist.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Turning 75 today, the lovely singer, songwriter, and actress Tina Turner.
Hey, wow. It was Ike's birthday a few weeks ago. How about that? And finally, turning 69 today, Fleetwood Mac's John McVie. And that's the way it was on this day in history for November 26, 2014. We finished on time! Woohoo! Oh, thanks. That rocked.
I'm sure Tina Turner was celebrating Ike's birthday.
Big wee heels keep on turning. We'll stop there. Hey, where's my bad news, everyone? I missed it. Well, I'll just take this one.
Bad news, everyone.
That'll work. Was that in stereo? What was that?
Me.
That sounded like an echo.
That was...
I was doing it when you played it.
That was awesome.
Bizarre, Craig.
Bad news, everyone.
The bad news is, well, I don't know if this is good news. Craig, you found this. You added it to the story. I don't know what your thought process was, so I'm going to let you read it.
Okay, let me pull it up.
The ugly fish.
That is one ugly
fish. It's an angler fish.
It's a type of angler fish. But what
you
was...
watched Finding Nemo, right?
Look at those teeth, man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Those teeth would scare a piranha, man.
The video is what makes this whole story.
Oh, yes, yes. The guy kind of sounds like Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, so here we go. A research team conducting a dive in Monterey Bay off the coast of California has captured the first ever video of a rarely seen denizen of the deep called the Black Sea Devil. Ooh. And yes, it is. The creature was spotted this week in the deep. Dark waters, about 1,900 feet below the surface, as researchers researchers of the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute. The video is what made me laugh because you start looking at it and watching it, and the guy starts going, "And oh my God, look at that!"
I do have a patch in here, so I can play this for you. We'll play the audio because the audio is just as funny. But imagine if you've watched Finding Nemo and you know the angler fish, you know, with the flashlight on its head and the big ugly jaws. There's a whole bunch of them, but there's different varieties of that. So let us have a listen.
We will learn true facts about the angler fish.
Sounds like Morgan Freeman.
The female angler fish comes in many shapes, colors, and shades of ugly. It's like a rainbow of ugly. The male anglerfish is tiny by comparison, like a tiny little baby. He attaches himself to the female by biting her and then digesting part of his face so he fuses with her flesh. He then atrophies, losing his digestive organs, brain, heart, and eyes, and winds up nothing more than a pair of gonads, which release sperm when needed. Hey there, pretty lady. Nice gonads. To the female anglerfish, the human male is a very loud, annoying, and unnecessarily complicated pair of gonads. The anglerfish is a master of disguise, hiding itself among the sand and rocks of the ocean floor. Here, an anglerfish compares its camouflaging skills with that of a flounder, also a master... Holy crap! Did you... To hunt, the anglerfish waves things in front of its mouth that its prey is attracted to. Here, the anglerfish waves a lovely pashmina shawl, just the size for an unsuspecting shrimp. Here, another one presents a lovely pair of leggings. And here, a decorative hat feather. Sadly, the shrimps and their vanity pay the ultimate price. Death. The deep sea anglerfish collects glowy bacteria in its wavy thing to create a tiny little light. Because it's dark as hell down there, and someone needs to light up that pretty, pretty lady.
Wavy thing. The wavy thing.
That was awesome.
I was watching it though, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna learn something. Well, that sounds like Morgan Freeman. Then he starts talking about the rainbow of ugly. I was like,
it was the holy crap, did you see that?
Because the flounder comes up and just eats the fish.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's better than seeing those pictures of grouper like regurgitating bones and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, much better.
Well, if you missed the news this last week, there's a new Barbie book came out, but they didn't quite get it right. This one is Barbie is a computer engineer. Uh-huh. Hey, and on the surface, that sounds like a cool thing, right? Because girls have, you know, opportunities that they may not recognize. Well, here we see at breakfast one morning, Barbie is already hard at work on her laptop. What are you doing, Barbie? Asked Skipper. I'm designing a game that shows kids how computers work, explains Barbie. You can make a robot puppy do cute tricks by matching up colored blocks. Well, at first this sounds cool, right? Barbie's pretty sophisticated making this awesome game, but
he's
read on
up into Java programming.
So Skipper says, your robot puppy is so sweet, can I play your game? Well, hold on there, Skipper. I'm only creating the design ideas, Barbie says, laughing. I'll need Steven and Brian's help to turn it into a real game.
Oh, you are kidding me.
No. So the internet, of course, gets a hold of this, and they start taking these pictures and putting their own captions on here. So here's Barbie standing by Steven and Brian's computer, and people put on captions like, you know, Steven and Brian, your computer wouldn't be so borked up if you stopped surfing porn sites.
Oh, my.
And using
goodness.
IE6.
Yeah.
It just got better than that.
I'm going to need to borrow Crazy Joe's junk punch and go after somebody for this one.
Oh, boy. Is this the real book for sure?
It is. Yeah. It is.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear on that.
I'm sorry. If a woman wrote this book and she didn't fight tooth and nail to kill her editor before this came out...
Wait, here's another one. When Barbie puts her flash drive into Skipper's laptop, the screen starts blinking. Oh no, says Barbie. The virus must have been on my flash drive. And I forgot to back up my homework assignment, cries Skipper. And all my music files are lost too.
And hits her with starts a pillow fight because she lost all her music files. Oh my goodness. Okay.
You know, you would think after the whole math is hard thing, they would have been conscious of this.
Nope.
I guess that person retired.
Did they miss the news article we did a couple of years ago about the scholarship that the Girl Scouts were doing to get girls to do computer programming?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It will go faster if Brian and I help, offers Steven.
The library computer has excellent security software to protect it. You lie.
Why does Steven have his hand on the video connector in the back? I'm not sure. Just screw the thing in, will you? Apparently, Steven doesn't know how to connect a VGA cable.
Yeah. Ken's going to be upset.
We saw that one and could not let that go.
Oh, my goodness. I hope the publisher gets a never-ending round of just bad publicity for that.
I think that's a collector's item now. You know they're going to pull it.
Well, they're going to pull it. They can pull it all they want, but somebody at that publisher needs to be demoted to mailroom.
That's right.
That.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to take this story. I'm going to put it with the story of the comet scientist with the shirt.
Oh.
Kind of belongs here.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
All right, we have on the listener birthday calendar, turning it over another page. November 26th is Joni. November 27th, Brad P. from NJ.
Brad P.
He's still around. I hope he's still listening. What did I say, November 27th?
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Okay, why did you highlight it?
I don't know. Just I have a bad habit of highlighting.
Stop highlighting in the middle of the show, man. Google Docs,
how's
interactive
that?
Thing.
How's that?
Yeah, control A. That's nice. Thanks. November 28th is Ben Sweetser. Well, Craig's in my coworker and listener. Do you know Ben? Do you know Craig?
I don't know if I met him.
Oh, okay. Well, just asking. Okay. December 1st, Claudio Miranda, and December 2nd is Ben Frixell from the Mac Mania podcast, which I wonder is still around. Let us know. Call us in. Call us out.
Yes.
And get your name. If it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar, happy birthday to you. And if you want to be on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and add your name. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year.
I don't know if my birthday is on the wiki.
Well,
it might have been on there a long time ago.
For shame. I have somebody else who will shame you after this. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back.
Why don't you help her do that during the break? Because she needs computer help.
Oh, Stephen and Brian can help you with that.
Uh-huh.
We'll be right back.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
Our program, who art in memory, hello be thy name. Thy spreadsheets be formatted, thy code be downloaded from disk as it will be in memory. Give us on screen our data spreadsheets and forgive us our typos as we forgive those who ask what we document. Lead us not into frustration, but deliver us from glitches, for thine is the algorithm, the application, and the solution, looping forever and ever. Return.
I'm trying to remember where I got that organ music. I think I may have actually got it from church.
Yeah, I think you did.
Kind of like the Blockbuster video or audio that I have in the background of the Media Corner segment. Yeah.
Here's Chuck.
I walked
here's
around Chuck. My iRiver everywhere when I was a kid.
So here's Chuck. Oh, I got some great music from my church. Okay, that's cool. Oh, by the way, you know what? During church, I started thinking, I'm like, do you even pay attention?
No. No. Yeah. My favorite time of year was when they put the banners over the pulpit and the lectern, and it had like three crosses, but they weren't crosses. They weren't longer. They were pluses. And I went, hey, it says plus, plus, plus. That's amazing. I can drop to the command prompt on my modem now in church. And I'm sure nobody else in church thinks that, but hey, that's we pray in our own different ways. I just pray at a higher baud rate.
That's right.
Hacks and strange stories.
About 2400 baud, wouldn't you say?
I pray at 300 baud. Anyway, we have Summer. Would you like to take this story since it involves Christmas? I guess.
You're on a date at TGI Fridays, casually sipping your discount cocktail. Trying to ignore the disappointed look on your partner's face as they attempt to cut into their overcooked steak. As if this situation wasn't awkward enough, the smooth sounds of the Billboard 100 playlist are interrupted by a high-pitched whining. A lone quadricopter hovers above, dangling a collection of stale mistletoe leaves.
Stale. Just the leaves.
Oh my goodness. Looking to make the best of a bad situation, you lean in for a kiss. And before you know it, it's profiteroles for one. Oh, like, that yes, would that would all. Yeah, that would be a complete talk to the hand moment.
Hey, it'd be like that. It'd be something like that kiss cam video that was floating around, and they focused on the couple, and they start laughing, and he holds up a sign that says, "It's my sister."
Oh,
no, it's my sister.
Not gonna happen.
No,
maybe on the cheek.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of another drone story, but I don't know if I can actually recount.
Oh,
that
drone on.
Someone has gotten the, shall we say, interesting idea to do those aerial drone shots and just like go over large landscapes. And then all of a sudden you'll see a couple having sex.
Oops.
Oh, yeah. What did they call
it? Call it like drone bone or something?
Yes. Yes, they are making a porn video.
That's
the whole point. It's not accidental. No. It was intentional.
Yeah, they're flying over these gorgeous long landscapes with classical music, and then all of a sudden you see a couple humping.
Yes, I've heard of that.
So wait a minute. So you have earth porn, and then you go into people porn.
Space. I'm surprised somebody hasn't tried Google, you know, Google Street View porn, Google Earth porn.
They just blur it out.
No, they don't. I have seen the collection. People take, you know, look it through Google Street View, and you have all these people standing out on their front porches naked. There's nothing blurred.
Who stands out on their front porch naked?
I don't know, but there's plenty of examples of them.
Yeah, at I least, know. Yeah. Why? That's just... I don't know.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning. You're going out to get the newspaper. You don't expect anybody to be and driving
by. There's the
in
Google
a-
car.
I can't be bothered with pajamas or a robe.
I work from home. I still dress with something. Like, come on.
Thick leaf.
I've worked from home this weekend with no spouse. I'm still putting clothes on.
I thank you for putting pants on.
I'm taking out the mail in the buff. Come on. All right, next news story, since we've had enough fun with that. What does it sound like to land on the 67P comet? Well, a couple weeks ago, you know what, if you listened, you know what it smells like on that comet. It smelled pretty bad. But we have the sound. It isn't every day that you get to hear the actual sound of a spacecraft touching down on comet 310 million miles away. We have that for you. Well, that was lovely. Crash. Sound like... What happened when I step on a plastic bottle? Let's hear that again.
That was anticlimactic.
Yeah, I was hoping for something a little more musical. Well,
In space, nobody can hear you scream.
Yeah, how did it make noise?
In space, no one can hear you bump into a wall.
Or step on a plastic bottle. Yeah. The Cometary Acoustic Surface Sounding Experiment, KSC. I think they just make up these acronyms to fit letters together. The sensors are located on the feet of Philae's three legs, and 2 seconds of landing audio they picked up, which were taken during Philae's first impact, after which it bounced twice, landed on its side, and you know the rest of the story. They're actually pretty interesting to researchers. They've analyzed the vibrations to tell them more about the comet's surface. Okay. Quote, the Philae lander came into contact with a soft layer several centimeters thick. Then... just milliseconds later, the feet encountered a hard, perhaps icy layer on 67P/Chermuria. Welcome back to On This Day in History. Sure. Philae project scientist Klaus Seidensticker. Oh, that sounds, isn't that what you get when you laugh too hard? A Seidensticker?
That's right. A Seidensticker.
This is in line with what Philae's MUPUS tool, another acronym, what that tool found while hammering the comet's surface. Well, that's good that the audio feet agreed with what the drill bit said.
I almost read that as Muppet tool. Mupus tool.
Mupus.
Mupus.
Mupus. Mupus.
Muppet tool.
Yeah.
Fozzie Bear on a comet. Waka waka. Well... I haven't heard too much about what data they gathered on the short expedition of this lander. Have you?
No.
I know it was prematurely short because they landed in a shadow and it was sideways. But they did get like a day and a half's worth of data collected. I wonder what they're doing with it, what they're finding.
All I read was that as the battery was dying, they just started throwing everything at it. Here, do this, you know, whatever they could. I think they tried to drill... I don't know how much they got drilled to put the material into the little ovens and cook it. I don't know. So I'm sure we'll hear more about it as time goes on.
They should use the easy bake oven.
Didn't they say they were hoping that when the sun hits it again in the spring, it'll come back to life?
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah. I was wondering that myself because we flew through the tail of Halley's Comet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was tumbling. So apparently this one just rides a steady rail. Doesn't tumble as much because I thought, oh, give it a few hours or days. Maybe we'll see something.
I think it was February or March, where it should be at an angle where the sun would hit it again. And they're hoping it'll wake up.
Kind of like Michigan.
Yeah. The upper part of North America.
Craig, you found something? No, Kyle sent us something.
Yes, Kyle sent us I'm sorry if y'all skipped the link and went to the Indiegogo page but anyway, it's a player piano. It's a website, a YouTube channel where here I'll read the thing for you. It says the player piano is an independent YouTube channel from composer and pianist Sonia Belousova I'm sure I'm chopping her name up. And director Tom Gray. Ah, his name I can say.
Single syllables.
Yeah. Featuring music videos in which classical musicians perform innovative arrangements of popular songs and soundtrack themes. In the past and upcoming videos include arrangements from Ken Dia's theme from the classic game, classic anime Akira, and themes from Tetris and Street Hunter.
Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Street Fighter.
Spy Hunter's anyway, the other one.
So they're playing the Tetris theme on this beautiful-looking piano, and what they're doing is they're actually giving away. You get a chance to win the piano. They're taking donations. Yeah, well, not donations, but they're taking bids, I guess, on the Indiegogo site, and you get a chance to play.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it. She puts quarters up there like it's
nice.
Like it's a video game. Piano. That's pretty cool.
It's a mix between like a pinball machine and a piano.
Okay. Now, what is she doing? She's playing the keyboard of what looks like a mini baby grand piano.
Mm-hmm.
So how is this a player piano?
It's the website.
Player,
that's the name
as
of the
in game player.
Yeah. It's just the name of the YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
Player piano.
Do you know how many times I get that song stuck in my head while I'm just going around the house?
Yeah. When you're standing out naked out in the yard. Waiting for Google to drive by.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Google to drive by. Come on, Google. All
right. I now realize why their names are familiar. These are the same two who did Cosplay Piano. We interviewed them after they did the Game of Thrones video. Thrones video they did where she's like, they put the piano in all the different kingdoms of Westeros and she's dressed up. They have people dressed up in the various, and she's playing the theme from Game of Thrones. It's the most amazing video you've ever seen. But they've also done several other cosplay piano videos that are amazing. It's just the Game of Thrones one just completely blew my mind.
That would be cool. That would be cool. Hey, we have Remember When. Thank you, Craig. In the Remember When segment, we have Lego instructions from 1974, and they're awesome. This photo, which you cannot see on a podcast, of a note to parents purportedly printed on a pamphlet. Well, there's an alliteration I had a hard time with. Included in a Lego set from the 1970s has been making laps around the internet. The legitimacy of the note, which is noteworthy for its egalitarian tone, has been called into question, but there's good reason to believe it is real. A photo of the note was posted on Imgur. Is that how you say that? I've been told different ways.
I always thought it was like Imgur.
That's what I thought too until my 21-year-old daughter said, no, Dad, it's Imgur.
I say Imgur. I don't know.
What do we know?
Yesterday, we're old. Hey, you listener, call us. Tell us, write us how you pronounce that website because it's terribly spelled. Anyway, where it received a lot of attention, it's gained purchase on Twitter. I can pronounce that because it's got all its vowels.
Yeah.
As of this posting, this tweet by at Henry Warren has been retweeted over 3,000 times. And it says, can I make this larger, please? Not really.
Scroll up.
Two parents.
Thanks, Twitter.
The urge to create is equally strong in all children, boys and girls. It's imagination that counts, not skill. Oh, thank goodness for that. You build whatever comes into your head the way you want it. A bed or a truck. A doll's house or a spaceship. A lot of boys like dollhouses. They're more human than spaceships. A lot of girls prefer spaceships. They're more excited than dollhouses. Or more exciting than dollhouses. The most important thing is to put the right material in their hands and let them create whatever appeals to them. That was the instructions from 1974?
Yeah, it was in the instructions. Well, you remember, and if you look a little further down, there's that little redheaded girl they put in there says, talking about what is beautiful, and it has, she made this, you know, obviously self-inspired Lego creation, but it's a little girl, you know, and they featured her in the ad. So, yeah, I think this is real. I think it's legit.
Oh. That's pretty
I think
cool.
It's a good message, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And take that, Mattel and Barbie.
And then there's a note on the back that says, "To children, leave these laying around on the carpet at night for your parents to step on."
That's right.
Ha, ha, ha. Signed, The Engineers. 74. 40 years ago. Oh, speaking of 40 years ago, here's a treasure trove of 90s videos about the internet. Oh, should we ever want to see these?
Again. Yeah.
Again. Was this the one with Carl Sagan?
Oh, wow. 386 speed, 8 megabytes of RAM.
14.4 or greater speed modem.
And a phone line.
How does the computer come with a phone line?
Hey, it's magic.
It probably just comes with an RJ11 to RJ11 phone wire.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I love this browser. What is that? Mosaic 1.0?
Oh, yeah.
Now, the darn pop-up ad. Craig, you got to stop getting these things with pop-up ads on them.
I don't have a pop-up. Oh, I use ad blocker.
Remember the old gray screen browsers? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, if you want, click through the show notes, and you will find a treasure trove of a lot of these videos. I'm going to read a comment real quick. This was awesome. I've been on CompuServe in the 80s. But the first time I successfully got on the web was in 94 or so. It was amazing feeling to be truly connected to the rest of the world. Anyone else feel that way? Getting listed on Yahoo was actually something to brag about.
That's right, yeah.
Don't think I ever truly reached 14.4 speed. Yikes.
Yep. And remember, Mosaic was actually first used for Gopher because HTTP didn't exist until 1994.
Gopher,
right.
The 18-month wonder.
Yeah.
Which is exactly how long the Pony Express lasted. Coincidence? I don't think so.
Yeah. Go for All this. Right, go there's for somebody's that. Doctoral dissertation in history.
Yeah.
I could do that. Nothing in the media corner, so we flip over to the geek library, which will round out. You know, this could have been in the media corner, Craig. It is related to movies and whatnot. Oh,
yeah, well.
I'm going to leave this last one up to Summer.
If you can believe it, James Earl Jones was paid just $7,000 for doing the voice of Darth Vader in the first Star Wars film. That's about $26,000 adjusted for inflation, but still not anywhere near a huge payday for a major motion picture.
Oh, you know what I need is the audio clip. Pray I do not change our agreement further.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, perfect. That would have been so perfect. I got paid $7,000 and I thought it was good money, he told the American Film Institute a few years ago. So how much did Jones make for The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi?
$7,100.
He fails to mention those figures, but you can bet they were more than $7,000 each. Don't feel too bad for Jones. He's now estimated to be worth about $45 million.
Good
and
Lord.
If you haven't heard the original on-set audio by English actor David Prowse, who played Vader in The Suit, you should definitely listen to it now.
Oh, those are great.
They are. It's hard to imagine Vader being taken too seriously without Jones voicing the role.
Let's see if we can find that audio quickly enough.
I would hope that David Prowse would sound better.
There we go.
There we go.
The voice for Darth Vader was another challenge.
And action!
Lucas had never intended to use the on-set vocal performance of David Prowse.
Start tearing the ship apart piece by piece until you find those tapes. Find the passengers of this vessel. I want them alive.
I can still...
He sounds like Rick Moranis.
I was going to say the same thing.
Flashback.
Here, Schwartz is as big as mine.
The Spaceballs.
That's probably where they got the idea. Hey, check out this behind the scenes footage. We can make a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. David Prowse. Yeah. I'm glad it worked out. That's one decision I'll get behind Lucas on.
Did you see the video I posted to the Technorama page on Facebook where Darth Vader gets religious and he's quoting Bible quotes through this whole sequence in New Hope? Oh, it's brilliant. I don't know how they did the voice, but it sounds like James Earl Jones. And he's putting these biblical quotes right into context. And Leia goes, I don't know, when they first meet, and she's telling him, I am diplomat of the Republic Council, whatever. I'm sorry, I'm misquoting the line terribly.
Diplomatic, yeah.
And instead of saying, you are a rebel and a traitor, he calmly says something from, like, Revelations.
Oh, jeez.
No, neither the harlots or anything shall be. Revelations 3:14. Creepy.
I find your That's lack fun. Of faith disturbing.
That's awesome. Yeah, they should have left that one in there.
Hey, you know what? The reason, not really the reason I stuck this in the show notes, but something else, another story that is very similar to this is the Dumb and Dumber story. Did you hear about this week?
No.
Okay, so it came out that the Farley brothers were trying to get Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels to do the movie, the original movie. And they were going to offered Jim Carrey $350,000. Well, Carrey wasn't a household name yet. And then Vace Ventura came out. Then all of a sudden they said, okay, we'll pay you 400. He says, no, I want five. So then they went back and forth. Turns out he negotiated all the way up to 7 million. So he's got like a great agent, I guess. So he went up to $7 million from 350 to $7 million. You know how much that they paid Jeff Daniels?
250? I don't know.
50 grand.
Aww.
50?
50. They lowballed it because it was comedy. And it was like he wanted to really try it, but it wasn't his first time out. So he thought, he'll take it. So he did it.
Wow.
Well, and the movie ended up making $247 million. Yeah.
Speaking of movies, Craig, you saw Big Hero 6?
I did.
What happened to Big Hero 1 through 5?
Well, they were all there.
Okay. I'm just saying, is it like Star Wars Episode 6? Did you have three more that came before that?
Yeah.
The castles in Monty Python?
Yeah. No, it was...
How was it?
No, it was a team thing anyway. So, yeah, it was really great. I don't want to go into it too much because, as far as spoilers go, because it's relatively a new movie. But I'll say that... Really, wait a minute. Let me back up. I started to say the animation was great, but really, should we just be reporting on the ones that really suck, the animation part? So I would, because they're all pretty good nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed it. The story was great. Had a lot of heart to it. Had a nice little, I didn't see that coming kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The robot was charming, which if you've seen the trailers, he looks like the
Stay Puft Man.
Yeah, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or the Michelin guy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Michelin tire guy. But, so the movie was really good. I enjoyed it. Lots of cool kind of moments. It's a Marvel movie, so be sure to stay after the credits and catch the end.
Does Stan Lee make a cameo?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
All right. So, and I know it's been out for...
I have not seen it, but one of our intrepid reviewers, sci-fi author Jean Cook, Ginny Cook, went and saw it and reviewed it. She said, bring a couple of Kleenex to, wipe the tears off your eyes.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, and stay through the end through, cause there's two,
cool.
There's two end, sequences. And she said the short film that preceded it was also really good.
Oh my gosh, that was fantastic. It's like a short cartoon like Pixar has been doing again lately, they used to do in the movies in the past. Yes, that was really good. That was really good. Also, one character I loved, and I just like this guy's voice, TJ Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He plays this dopey, not pothead, but like Shaggy kind of character.
Zoinks!
Yes. I've seen the...
My gosh. Go ahead.
No, I said I've seen the I have a collection of posters for each character that I posted with Ginny's review, and everybody else is in this action pose even as their real selves, and he's sitting up there, with this like surfer kind of yo attitude.
His character is funny because he wanted, they're all trying to make superhero outfit or they're making super outfits. Mm-hmm. He said early on all he wanted to do was be a three-eyed dragon that could shoot fire. And he ended up being one. And that was the funniest thing. you have to go see it. It's funny, but yes, well worth the money. Take a kid I think it's good for adults too. I'll go see this kind of movies by myself, but I enjoyed it. Very good.
Well, thank you. Good. Yeah. I'm going to put that on my list. Maybe on the holidays, maybe if it's still playing, I'll take the girls. They'll be here in a few weeks.
It'll still be playing easy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's the AMC 30, which is running 30 theaters at once. Can't imagine it'll be gone by the holidays if they want to rake in as much money as possible.
Yeah. I'm still trying to angle to go see Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, please don't.
Netflix?
I got to.
No.
I love the first one so much. I got to. Summer, I got to.
You know how second movies are usually not quite as good?
And they've waited, 15 years in between? No, don't do it, Craig.
Don't do it.
You'll hurt brain cells.
I've only got two.
Eat all the more reason to conserve.
All right. Maybe. I don't know.
All right. If you want to get in touch with us and give us your comments or corrections, send them to 206-222-CHAT. That's the number we were talking about before. 206-222-2428. We'd love to hear from you. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Don't forget, put your name on the birthday calendar, chuckchat.com/wiki. And you can find all that information and more about where to find us and how to contact us and blah, blah, blah over at, you guessed it, chuckchat.com. Thank you once again to all of our monthly micropayment donors who have clicked the PayPal button on the website. We appreciate it very, 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 very much. How many was that? 6, 7? Add a couple more. Just keep clicking the button and we'll add a few more for you. Thanks to Mad Marv and everybody. And thank you for listening. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
Summer? Okay. 101.
Asleep at the wheel.